protection. Gets off and a catch. Touchdown. Devontae Parker extended and made the reception. What a catch.
Second and goal. Kenyon Drake, the running back now. Tannehill back at the quarterback spot. Bryce Butler goes in motion. Back to throw. Flips it out. He's got Drake at the five. Touchdown, Miami.
All right.
Second down and 12 from the 25. Allen calls McCoy back into the backfield. Trips to the left. Looking to his left. Fires. And he's got a receiver. Touchdown. Zay Jones on a crossing route. And the Bills have taken the lead. Trips to the right. Back to throw. Looking. Floats it. End zone. And it's caught by Kenny Stills, who outbattled two defenders to make the catch.
Welcome back, Kenny Stills. It's been a while. Goes up, gets it in the end zone.
Back to throw, Allen. Steps around the pocket. Now he goes loop to loop. Now the other way, he's going to Greasy. Looking downfield, throws it. It's he dove for it. Couldn't come up with it. Charles Clay was as wide open as you could possibly be in the end zone.
And he didn't get the ball there.
Dolphins go to 6-6. They still have a chance on the season with a 21-17 victory over the Buffalo Bills.
All right, welcome to a Monday morning. I'm not sure how everybody's taking that win yesterday. It was a win, and I had to check, by the way, this morning before we get to... Is today number one happy Hanukkah?
Last night was the first night of Hanukkah, but today's the first day of Hanukkah, yeah.
DQ, you threw me a little curveball, man.
Yeah, you did. Good job. Yeah, we lit the candles for the first time last night, and now it's the first day. Hanukkah is underway now.
How many?
Well, eight nights.
Eight nights.
Yeah, so seven more nights of lightning.
Okay.
It's a long holiday.
You ever look at me and go, Joe, how many times I got to explain it? Every year I got to explain this to you.
It's always
eight
nights.
How many years, man?
It's always eight
nights.
Now
I got to ask you this one. Does anybody take off?
Not for Hanukkah. If someone takes off for Hanukkah, it's a little weak. And I usually take off the major.
It's the last month in December. A lot of people.
Oh no! If you're burning holiday days. Like, listen, there's going to be random days this month where people around the station. It's going to be a random Thursday, and three people are missing. It's because you're burning vacation days.
Yeah,
but
right.
No, like
you burn or you lose.
No one. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. It's you know, we all got that letter and the email, except for you,
because
you don't check your corporate email. But everyone else got the email in the last couple of weeks. Like, hey, this is how many days you have left. If you don't take them by December 31st, you don't get to roll them over into January. That's why it's like the random Wednesday when it's supposed to be Hockman and Crowder, and it's Hockman and Whittingham, or the random Friday when the middle of the day, well, not the midday show because there's not really a random host in there, but between our show and the afternoon show, or Dono at night when Kevin Rogers is in, you're like, oh, where's Dono? Well, he's got 97 vacation days to burn before December 31st.
Everybody's wiping them out.
But happy Hanukkah to all of the brethren.
That's right,
there,
man. Yes. Everybody's had to get up early and hopefully get a present or two or spoil the
children. I had brisket last night, potato latkes last night at my parents' house. It was nice.
All right.
It was a good first night of Hanukkah.
Well, listen.
And the Dolphins won.
Well.
There's my Hanukkah present.
It's a weird
Charles
thing.
Charles Clay gave me my Hanukkah present.
Boy,
yesterday.
He did. And and he got a little help from his quarterback, Josh Allen. There was a little bit for both guys. So the Dolphins get a 21-17 win. They get back to 6-6 and hanging on for the last playoff position, although this will be the week of truth because they've got the New England Patriots coming to town who are tied with three other teams for the second best record in the AFC. So we got that going on. But so how'd you feel after that one? I know I kind of left like, okay, we won, but we won because Josh Allen, for some reason, had time to throw it and just with that big, strong arm, he didn't get all of it where it needed to be. Not the most accurate young quarterback. And Charles Clay had a chance to catch it right at the goal line, which, by the way, he's just going to catch and roll in even if he's short.
Basically right there, yeah.
Nobody was around him.
No, within 10 yards.
So he did go. That's officially an NFL drop. I agree with everybody on that, but Josh Allen could have just winged it somewhere in the middle of the end zone, and he could have body caught it and fell down. and there
still should have caught that ball.
Been a big ass celebration. No, no, no.
No matter how you look at it, question. No matter where that ball was thrown,
no,
he should have caught that ball. But to your original question, how do you feel? Okay, with this team and how I felt all season. You take the W, you literally take that game, flush it down the toilet, and you go on to the next week, and there's no real going over what happened. You know, obviously, we'll talk about this stuff, but if I'm a team, if I'm Adam Gase, if I'm one of those players, that's the way I look at it, because there's been such ugly wins and good wins and bad losses this year that you'll just take what you can get.
Yeah.
But when your quarterback that you're playing against runs for 135 yards, and on the last play of the game, legitimately, like you just said, Charles Clay was wide open by 10 yards in every direction, 15 yards maybe.
You know, this has happened now 2 weeks in a row where a quarterback has scrambled and found like a wide open guy where our guys in the secondary
are lost.
Well, there's two things going on. They leave their guy because, first of all, the pass rush is awful right now for
the
Dolphins.
There's no pass rush. Just don't even mention that.
Terrible pass rush. They did end up getting back-to-back sacks late in the game, which were crucial. One, though, was on a blitz by Bobby McCain. But the problem is guys don't stay with their guys because they think there's no way, or they see the guy getting ready to take off and run. But Josh Allen had to break a record not only for running for his 135 yards, but buying time by rolling out and not going past the line of scrimmage so he could find open receivers. Now, the good news for the Dolphins, he missed three guys in end zones yesterday wide open. He missed guys throwing it behind him. I mean, there were guys wide open. Dolphins defenders looking at each other like, ooh, that was bad. We got lucky. Ooh, we got lucky again. And they end up winning the game. But there was plenty of frustration to go around. They couldn't catch him, number one. They couldn't tackle him. And they couldn't get to him. He sat in the pocket on a few throws where he did throw touchdowns and just way too much time. He missed a takeoff on Xavien Howard, guys a couple of yards out in front of the X-Man who had a couple more interceptions yesterday and seven on the season.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is unbelievable.
Last time we talked about a guy having seven interceptions. I think I got to go back either, I'm guessing, Sam Madison or
Sam or Pat.
Or Pat,
yeah, one of those two.
I didn't even think to look it up last night because of all the stuff going on. So we'll get into that. Jerry Hughes upset with an official, says he said something to him. Jordan Phillips was just out of his mind. I got to tell you, I watched the Jordan Phillips thing, and I talked to him before the game, which came over. He likes me.
That's good.
Came over and said,
"Hey,
man,
over to Omar.
It's nothing. I just want to let you know, man. I like you, man, and I like those guys." And he didn't get into who he disliked. He just wanted me to know. But I got to tell you the weird thing. He was overstanding and talking to guys on the Dolphins sideline. Like over before the game, he was over by the Dolphins bench. Just talking to guys who
are
coming over to him. And the players, you know,
the
players, they have no hard feelings towards him. It was more, I mean, defensive line coach, defensive coordinator, and head coach. So he was he was almost like waiting for one of those guys to come over and say something to him. He's going to rip him, right?
It seemed like it. Just seemed like he was waiting for him. He was getting baited.
Now, he made some great plays yesterday. Listen, man, he, as I expected, he was going to be pumped up yesterday. So he made a few plays, and he just kept going over and looking, taking a few steps at the sideline and doing that chomp thing and going crazy. Then he flipped, got a stupid penalty.
Stupid.
Which, by the way, the Dolphins end up scoring on when they basically had it stopped. Just a really dumb play on Kenyon Drake flipping his leg up, and they could see him getting heated and trying to get the crowd. He was out of his mind yesterday as that thing was going on. So anyway, the Dolphins with 175 yards of offense end up winning. I think they had 60 yards in the second half, and yet because of special teams again, which continue to be the MVP, right? MVP of the team is special teams, man. Coach Riz has been just really, really good and has a big mark on this 6-6 season, what his guys have been able to do. His punter yesterday was out of this world.
It's amazing. We're always talking about the punter.
You're right.
Brandon Fields was here. It's the MVP every year.
You're right. Well, listen.
That's sad, right?
He was the Dolphins punter was very, very good yesterday. I know. And you're always thinking, I know you're thinking the same thing I am. I never want to be talking about any position on the team about the punter had a great day because that means, oh, now we're going to talk about punting, which is bad when you got a punt.
Of course.
To start with, whether you're backed up or you're trying to back somebody else up.
I don't want it to be in that position. The problem is with the Dolphins over the last decade or so or more is the punter is usually the guy we're talking about because he put him in such good field. He had 7 punts yesterday, netted a 45.7 average. I don't want the guy to punt 7 times. Give me a guy who punts twice in a game.
Yeah.
And I would rather not be
talking about a guy kicking one and have it ricochet off his shoulder pads or hit him in the head or his guy bounce into him trying to block somebody. But I tell you what, Riz has got his guys, his kickers and his coverage guys. Should have blocked one yesterday. I don't know how he missed it.
It seems like every game they're blocking something. They're getting in
just,
there blocking.
Playing great. So, and by the way, special teams is the third phase of it, but, I mean, not the phase you're usually.
No.
Just don't lose the game usually.
That's
right?
It. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything to lose the game. Don't fumble the ball. Don't snap it over the guy's head. Just be what you need to be.
But they've been great, man.
They've been great. You're right.
So, anyway, we got that. Of course, Dwayne Wade yesterday saves the day for the Miami Heat, making a couple free throws, getting fouled on a great move to the basket yesterday. Hassan Whiteside with a big boy double-double. I love those big boy double-doubles. I think he's had a couple of these this year. He's had 20 rebounds, a couple. Yeah. 23 and 20 yesterday. Alabama and Nick Saban are coming back to South Florida to play Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. Matter of fact, we'll have Eric Palms, CEO of the Orange Bowl, come on. And by the way, if you're going to come on, you might as well say, hey, you guys need a ticket.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm hoping for.
Because those are going to be really hot tickets.
I already got a call last night from my buddy in Atlanta, who's a big Alabama fan. He's like, hey, you guys going to have tickets down there to give away?
Well, you don't think Oklahoma's fan base going to be a little pumped up, too?
Yeah.
It is interesting, though. Would you sell more tickets? Notre Dame's Notre Dame, I had no idea until I saw it against Alabama a few years ago, what Notre Dame does. But are you better with Clemson, Notre Dame? Would they bring more? Or do you get more from Oklahoma, Alabama? Alabama fans will spoil, like, call us for when you get to that final game after you beat Oklahoma by 21, and we'll come out.
I think they hit the home run out of the two games. Alabama-Oklahoma is going to be the best game.
Okay.
I do. I really do. And that's not because Eric Palms is coming on. If it was the other reason, if it was the opposite and they got the Notre Dame-Clemson game, I would have said, you guys got a great game, obviously. Notre Dame-Clemson can be fun to watch. But that Alabama-Oklahoma game might be the better of the two. And you probably got the two finalists for the Heisman.
Notre Dame-Clemson is going to be a better game.
Really?
Yeah. I think it'll be closer.
I think Clemson's going to beat up on Notre Dame.
I think Clemson-Alabama clearly the two best teams.
That's it. It's Golden State, Cleveland. We've seen it 4 times, but I want to see it again.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to, including where the Miami Hurricanes are going. NFL had a super busy day yesterday. Some crazy stuff happened over the weekend. One of the best players won't be seeing the NFL football field for a long, long time. We'll come back and talk about that stuff. Did they get it right on Oklahoma? Getting to the Orange Bowl. Plenty of stuff to get to. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Well, I was holding my breath for what felt like an eternity. I saw him scrambling around. Quinn is trying to corral him. He went left, right, back left. When he turned and wound up the throw, I looked out and saw Charles Scott Free over there. So from about that point till the ball hit the ground, I was holding my breath. Thankfully, they weren't able to connect. Beats the heck out of the alternative, I'll tell you that much. To finally be able to pull one out, feels really good. Proud of the guys, the way they battled. Took all 60 minutes today, and thankfully we're on the right side of it.
All right, plenty to get to with that game, and we'll talk about that. Was Ryan Tannehill talking about his team getting back to 6-6 on Josh Allen and Charles Clay somehow not being able to connect on that last play, 4th and 11, and Charles Clay had to come back. It would have been a tough catch. I think for people that have seen it now 250 times or were there – Had to come back for Josh Allen. Didn't look like he threw a little bit of a duck there coming back.
He was throwing on the run. He was scrambling around. He finally set his feet a little bit, maybe.
I think he was shocked, though, when he went to throw it.
Of course.
How the hell did you get so open back there? Oh, my gosh, don't miss this throw.
He's looking for anyone to get open, and then sees Charles Clay basically waving his hands in the back of the end zone like, hey, there's no one within 10 to 15 yards of me. Throw me the ball. Yeah.
Well, anyway, he had a chance to catch it right on the goal line there to come back and couldn't hold on to it. And by the way, if he just goes down and catches, even if it's on the foot line or 1 yard line, you just crawl right into the end zone because there was nobody around him, man. Nobody at all. So get more into that as we move on here. Got a lot of other news going on. By the way, Sunday Night Football, big winner again. I mean, Sunday Night Football. The one thing about the commissioner who got a little bit of a black eye with this story coming out with Kareem Hunt. And once again, TMZ just kicks. TMZ.
It's ridiculous.
I don't care how much they're paying. They get it. They get video that police forces can't get, detectives can't get, big powerful leagues like the NFL can't get. They can't get it, but TMZ always seems to know somebody with the right amount of money to get the video. And
why these leagues aren't hiring TMZ somehow. Or you know what I mean? Like doing something where they have some sort of agreement with them is just ridiculous.
NFL's got to have to, like, all right, what's TMZ doing? We got to, I don't know. It's a bad look because, listen, we've all seen the video now. It's out there. This has been a weird weekend. Kareem Hunt, of course, is one of the two or three best running backs in the National Football League. For all you fantasy football guys, you know that. By the way, they did a story last night. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Talking about Kareem Hunt, and they go, now, let's go to Jamie Eisenberg. And he's going to give us an update on what this means. I thought they were getting ready to do, like, you know, for the team and going ahead and, like, with the team, and they went to fantasy football. I went,
realize
really?
How big of a business fantasy football is.
We're going to Jamie now, and Jamie's going to break down what this means and how much trouble you're in losing his points every week. And I went, really? Talk about what happened. It's domestic violence, and you're worried about fantasy football.
I think around 2:30 or 2:40, what was he, cut or released at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I think that's what it was. I think around 2:30 or 2:15 when like the news was spreading of Kareem Hunt, the video is out, this and that, I look on Twitter and I see the nose go, if you don't have Spencer Ware yet in your league, go get him now, especially if you're a Kareem Hunt owner. That's how important it is.
Yeah.
This guy is going to be done for the season, maybe even done longer than that. But you're right. Instead of going to the story by Josina Anderson or someone else like that, it's let's bring on Jamie. Let's call Nose. Let's get the fantasy guy on here because it's got a lot of implications.
I was cracking.
It's crazy.
I was like, you realize this is a little more serious than fantasy football,
it's
but that's
big
why.
Business.
Anyway, so Kareem Hunt in the TMZ video comes out. So he shoved her. He kicked her. By the way, he shoved her through another guy.
Yep.
Knocked him. He didn't get up either.
No.
It was got to be one of the most powerful shoves we've ever seen because he went into the wall with her. They both went down. Then he came over and kicked her. Then he lied to the team earlier. And then he decided to go on with Lisa Salters and go do an interview. Which, by the way, outside of that's not me, I'm sorry this happened, it's my responsibility not to do it, that's not me, you kicked her when she was down.
Yeah.
That's not me. No, that was you.
We have the video, Kareem. Like, I'm watching.
I was like,
look,
that's
Kareem,
not
I'm
really
watching
me.
The video.
And I always love this because every guy does this. My grandmother raised me or my mother raised me. I know better. I have sisters. I know better. You know, that's not me. Well, I am curious because we have learned one thing for all of us out there, and now we've seen it again. One thing, or when you have allegations, right? But it's another when you got that video. The old video doesn't lie, man.
Ask Ray Rice.
The old video, Ray Rice.
Ask Ray Rice.
Never got back in the league, although.
Different situation, though, when it comes to player. When you were talking about actual player on the field, Ray Rice was towards the end or the end of his career. Kareem Hunt right now is, what would you say, 23, 24 years old. He is in the prime of his career. That's why this was such a bigger story when it came to how quickly the Chiefs responded to this. This was not, we're going to wait until the investigation is over. Right. We're going to put him on, we're going to keep him on the commissioner's list. Like, they saw the video, and the owner of that team, who was it, the Hunt family, whatever, I forgot what it was.
It is the Hunt family.
The Hunt family.
Yeah.
Immediately, he is released. Get him off this team. We don't want him on this roster anymore.
They have been one of the top three or four teams, and I'm putting this nicely, for second chances for people. Kansas City, their head coach has always been a second chance guy. He's had his own issues with his own sons. He's lost one of his sons, I believe, committed suicide. And so he's been through it and gets it, you know, as far as giving guys. And listen, it works out on some guys. It has worked out. And other guys have gone on to continually be turds. We've seen that side too.
Seen it a lot, yeah.
So including what just happened in San Francisco, just absolutely stupid, whether he's guilty or not, or whether she did it again. Like, he should get suspended, Reuben Foster, the rest of the year for just being stupid.
An idiot, yeah.
Like, the team goes, you're still dating her?
And you flew her to Tampa?
And it happened under our watch in our hotel where the team's staying? We're trying to win damn games.
It made John Lynch look really bad.
Yeah, it did.
It just made when the general
manager,
you know.
When a guy does, and I always feel bad because I believe, especially young guys, and I believe Kareem Hunt, he's 23, should get another shot. You know, probably
he will.
People,
he will.
Bum, he should be in prison or whatever. He's going to be out for a while, though. This is going to be a serious thing. He did everything, man. He did it all. It's on video. Then he lied about it. I mean, he went through the whole thing. Then he did one of the quickest interviews of all time. He calls ESPN. Like,
I couldn't believe that.
I'd like to do an interview.
This is, we have an excerpt. This is from the interview with Lisa Salters and Kareem Hunt.
It was just a long night. And to be exact, it don't really matter what happened. I was in the wrong. I could have took responsibility and, you know, made the right decision to, you know, find a way to de-escalate the whole situation. It's tough because, like, I feel like I let a lot of people down, and I just really want to, you know, apologize to everybody, the Chiefs organization, my family, and close friends.
How much do you regret what happened, being in that position at all? Or is it more that you regret that you didn't tell the truth about what happened? Or do you regret that it came out, that it was on video?
I regret the entire thing, everything. I regret the entire thing, and I'm going to take the time to, like I said, better myself and learn from this, get some help if needed, talk to people, and just really, you know, take this really serious.
Whatever the hell's going to get me back in the league fast, because I'm a damn good player.
That's right.
And by the way, the league, soon as they clear, they'll be jumping to grab them.
Of course. Look what happened with Reuben Foster. We know it's going
to
happen.
Who wants to take a hit on this one, even though the video's out, and it's a completely different game than being accused of it.
Absolutely.
Much different. And he can call Ray Rice and ask him, except this kid has got ridiculous talent and is having a great season. I think 7 touchdown catches as well as 7 running touchdowns. Just a fantastic year on a great team, too, by the way, with all that stuff. And speaking of that, the NFL not only hit a home run on Sunday Night Football, Chargers come back and beat Pittsburgh after being down 23-7. Another big win for NBC on Sunday night. The Cardinals go in and beat the – by the way, this is why I don't bet on games here.
Oh, my God.
The Cardinals beat the Packers. And Mike McCarthy got fired.
Should have.
And, of course, the last part of this is, yeah, you're right. Things were obviously – just reading Peter King this morning. Peter's, like, one of those guys that's really in on the know that it was really bad. Like, all this stuff about, yeah, Mike McCarthy is, you know, it's not great between he and a lot of – apparently that's the case because with 4 left, they let him go. And Joe Philbin.
I got a little queasy.
Yeah, yep. Joe Philbin is –
that's right.
Joe Philbin is back as interim coach.
Yeah, interim.
So Big Joe gets last 4 games there. And I got to bring this one. I thought this amazing. Lamar Jackson got another win. Baltimore's won 3 in a row with this guy running, playing quarterback. They got a great defense.
Yeah, they do.
They run the football, and he's a big part of it, and they're winning. And their defense is really good.
Joe Flacco's day is numbered there.
You know what? When he comes back, they said yesterday there's no controversy with this quarterback position. Everybody's, what do you mean by that? He goes, they can all play. So
isn't that the
I can tell you what?
The wrong answer.
Joe Flacco is not going to be happy when he's able to come back and they're going, Joe, come over here. Lamar's going in.
Yeah. Sit out this play. We're calling this play for Lamar.
But he is fun. I don't know. I'm going
to
keep
saying
this.
Fun to watch, and they're winning games.
I don't know how long he can hold up as a running quarterback because this league is not set up for a full time. He was breaking tackles, made some great runs.
If you're winning games, it's all that matters.
Hey, by the way, I mean, we saw a guy run for 135 yards against the Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly.
135
2 weeks
yards.
In a row now with 99 last week and then 135 this week.
Yeah, he just said, hey, that Jacksonville's nothing. Watch me this week. And by the way, I would love to know what the coaches, when they're looking at those videos, going, he could take off and run outside the pocket anytime he wanted.
Yeah.
There was never anybody out. Everybody's always seemed to be pinched to the inside. So he either said, well, I'm going to buy some time by rolling out here, or I'm going to take off and run for 20. It was offense.
It's a good dynamic for a quarterback. I know that it won't last forever.
But it's a bad look for your defense.
Oh, no. Like, are you kidding me?
Outside of those three
Dolphins
takeaways.
Dolphins defense?
Thank God that special teams got one. And the X-Man picked off two.
Listen, they're just happy about one thing. Charles Clay. That's it. Because if Charles Clay catches that ball in the end zone, it's a different show today.
Today goes back to the Wildcat on third and one. And what the hell was that?
Second guessing everything. And by the way, twice yesterday.
First down at the end of the damn game.
Twice yesterday on the broadcast. I told you this happened last week. If you're watching TV, after a big play, they go to the sideline and there's Coach Case sitting on the bench.
On the bench.
Looking at his, yeah. I knew it was going to happen right after a big play yesterday, but they always find him now. Now the TV cameras are looking for him when he's not standing on the sideline like the head coach stuff.
You think they're doing that just to show like the head, like what the hell's the head coach got his head down on the side?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
The other part of the team is team too?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Like the minute they go on defense and a big play happens, it's like, oh, where's Adam Gase? Sitting on the bench. I knew that would end up happening.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
A tough game and division game. You know, it seems like against those guys, it's just tough. It's tough to play their defense. And, you know, they got a tough scheme and they do a good job executing everything. And, you know, their offense, it's a little different than what we've seen the past couple years. But, you know, it's, you know, the young quarterback and his ability to move around that causes problems.
Yeah, that Josh Allen show was something else. What, the seventh overall pick in the NFL draft? All those quarterbacks taken, runs for 135, throws for 231. Probably missed three or four wide open guys without exaggerating here too much, which I've been known to do from time to time. But
he's not perfect, but I'll tell you what, if you're a Bills fan, you're happy.
I think overall they are.
I think you got your quarterback.
I mean, it's the same knock, that same problem that everybody's talked about is accuracy's got to get better. And they got to get better talent around him, to be fair to the guy, too. But, hey, man, he ends up going for, what, together 350-plus yards. He's a great runner for a big guy, real good runner, and buys time back there. And he made our D-line look bad. He made that group. I think they got to the point they were afraid of trying to inside move, because as soon as they did, he went outside and seemed like he bought. I'd love to see the breakdown from the time of the snap to the time he threw the ball. Once he dropped back and then rolled out where they flushed him out of the pocket. And then even on that last play where he was running around, like I thought we were at Central Park playing a touch football game.
It was ridiculous.
And you know how you always put the best athlete at quarterback, and he runs around and the rest of us are chasing the
freaking
guy. Just
trying to get the guy, yeah.
And he's just zigzagging back and forth. And that thing had to be 10 seconds.
It seemed like forever.
No, I hope, maybe I'm exaggerating, but it literally.
I mean, it was enough time for Charles Clay to beat his man or get rid of his man.
I don't even know who was supposed to be around.
Neither do I, because there was no one within 15 yards of the guy.
So, yeah, that was one they'll look at, and they'll take the win. You always, the most important thing is the win. And for everybody, you know, and I saw a lot of the comments were negative, and I get it. I mean, 175 yards of offense, terrible on third down again, and all the problems you had, even stopping them. And of course, the Bills, three turnovers and 13 penalties, still had a chance to win that game at the
still
end.
400 yards.
If they can,
the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
If they can connect on that last play, then it's real bad. But the truth comes up this week. Because the New England Patriots are coming to town looking for their 10th win.
And to clinch the AFC East, by the way. So they're, you know when they love those games to clinch so they could not take time off, but just kind of take a deep breath? And that's this game this weekend for the Patriots. They come down here, they win, they get the AFC East, then they work on the number one or two seed, and that's it.
Well, they got to, or they're going to be on the road for the playoffs. And by the way, AFC is starting to look real good. Great win, by the way, yesterday. For the L.A. Chargers, who, by the way, are only one game behind the Rams.
That's right.
We got this Rams love affair. And you go, hey, don't forget about the Chargers. Great comeback win in Pittsburgh for them last night.
And the Chargers Chiefs, by the way, is coming up, I believe, in two
Sunday
weeks.
Sunday night. Yeah, there's another one. And then so you got all those teams. Texans quietly just keep – they've won nine straight.
What a story there. 0-3, they look bad. Nine straight wins. Hottest team in the NFL right now. Yeah.
So they're still going strong.
There's a fight for that number one seed in the AFC.
And then the
AFC.
Patriots at nine. So you got three teams with 9-3, one team at 10-2. Kansas City looked real good yesterday again, scoring whenever. Anytime Oakland would have put seven on the board, they'd jump right back and put up stupid numbers again yesterday. But, yeah, that whole thing was unbelievable. Lamar Jackson's story has been great. I give him credit. His third start. And, by the way, give him credit. They adjusted the offense. Sometimes when you're used to having Joe Flacco stand back there.
Like a statue.
And just throw it. And that's all you get with him. And they go, no, we can do a bunch of different things with Lamar. He's athletic. You change your offense. And, by the way, I always go by this, too, with the quarterback. When the team rallies around you, the whole team. Baltimore's defense is the B word. It's good, man. Yep. It is really good. They're running the ball. Lamar's a big part of it. They don't seem to be worried about him. Like, I mean, a lot of those are set up runs that, you know, that are called.
Yeah, these are not just him, you know, passing play where he's just not, you know, running out of there or getting
this
on the, you know.
It's a little old school, right?
Yes.
It's like play defense, great defense, and run the ball.
That's
you
it.
Got a shot.
It's old school Ravens, old school Steelers. That's
and
the way they do it.
And it's cold weather football, and they got it going. So they're 3-0 with Lamar Jackson, another one of the many great stories coming out.
By the way, go to the other side of the spectrum with great stories to bad stories. How about what's happening in Carolina? Panthers are absolutely pooping the bed the last
Quiet.
Couple of weeks. Cam Newton, four picks yesterday. What a bad game for him. They were 6-3, I believe, at one point. They're 6-6 now.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? There's a couple weeks ago where I said that's the third best team in the NFC.
They were looking real good, and Cam's been having a great season. You're going to have those games. I get it. How about the Cleveland love fest, too? That was Houston put a little halt to that,
yeah.
Didn't they? Baker Mayfield throwing three picks just before you get too excited about everything
coming to reality
going on.
A little bit. I figured that would happen.
Lamar Miller, he's all of a sudden having these regular 100-yard games and really running well, former Miami Hurricane. So anyway, a lot of stuff going on in the NFL yesterday. It's pretty cool. D-Wade hits a couple of free throws. Still one-on-one. It's amazing at age 36. I see guys one-on-one. Donovan Mitchell's got him one-on-one. He still puts a move on him, blows right by him, goes to the basket, gets fouled, and makes both free throws. He's still the closer of the team.
Yep. Everyone still buys the pump fake, by the way.
Well,
it might be one of the greatest pump fakes I've ever seen by Dwayne Wade.
He does have that, but last night he literally just gave him a little move and blew by him and got to the basket, and he's adjusted his game because there wouldn't have been a time where he might have tried to dunk that ball at the end there and get fouled. And
just
trying
to get the ball in the hoop at this point.
Just got it up and got the call there with a couple of seconds left. And so Miami Heat get that win last night. That was a good one. By the way, here early in the morning, high school football of the weekend. Congratulations to all the teams. Zach, I'm tempted. I don't know if we can, but if you go to Orlando, it's going to be South Florida over at the stadium. Congratulations to Columbus.
Okay, one.
Northwestern.
Two.
St. Thomas.
Not three.
Cardinal Gibbons.
Not four.
Chaminade.
Not five.
And Champagnat.
Not six.
How about
almost
that?
Not seven. Almost not seven. Damn Crowder's team.
Channing's team barely loses.
I know.
I think they lost by 2 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Could have had seven teams up there in Orlando.
So University, Deerfield Beach was in there because they played Columbus, and Columbus put it to them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it was great, and Blue wasn't too far off. Blue said there's a good chance it's a clean sweep, and University wins that game. It would have just been unbelievable up there. I am really tempted. I don't know if we can do it. Try to shoot up there Thursday night, get set up Friday, and stay up there and watch the games and shoot back Saturday. Boy, but so the guys were working on me last night. Some of the guys that go different schools, high schools at the stadium. Oh, man, you got to go. This doesn't happen. It's going to be great. So, yeah, South Florida's going to be well represented in Orlando
for the state championship
games, and a lot of them. Really dominant games. The Northwestern story is just unbelievable.
Is that the best story?
Yeah,
the six up there. Yeah,
and it's not. Somebody brought up a great point. Like, think about Northwestern. Like Northwestern, anybody they're going to play in the state is not going to be better than Central.
Just their
or
district.
Carroll City.
Yeah, that's their district.
Like, their district is going to be better, and I never really thought about that. Their district. Because Carroll City and Central were two top 10 teams in the nation and should have been. Late in the year, they were two top 10 teams till they played and one knocked the other out. So you got that. Now you're playing other teams in the state. Zach, they're never going to be as good as Carroll City or Central.
No.
So the Northwestern just hangs in there. Didn't have to beat Carroll City. So we'll take care of Central in a low-scoring game. Playing out of this world. Somebody told me last night, which I didn't realize, they made a change in a coordinator, one of their coaches, and just got them going, and they're playing great. So just a hell of a story. But congratulations, all those high school football teams. Later in the week, we'll jump on it with Blue. You know where he'll be all weekend. He'll be up in Orlando. He'll be at Disney World. Of course, he won't be checking out Disney World. He'll go right to that damn stadium.
No, exactly.
Grab his coffee.
He'll be sleeping outside that stadium.
Grab his coffee and get ready to go. And old Nick Saban's coming back to South Florida to take on Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. And of course,
hide your recruits.
It's too late.
I know.
I'm just telling everybody that cares.
He's coming down in the helicopter.
Well, I don't think he'll use a helicopter.
He might still use it around here.
But this is. It's bad news for recruiting and keeping players.
Especially if it's a 50-50 guy and Nick's coming down here.
Yeah. Or the guy's down to three schools or two schools with Alabama in there and this guy coming down and you'll get a chance to spend the week at his practices and the whole – I've seen this show before. So, anyway, you got all that stuff going on, and we'll talk here. We got to get in the 7 o'clock hour. Eric Palm, CEO of the Orange Bowl. Now, I'm going to call Eric Palms out a little bit.
Okay.
He was one of those guys like the old traditional bowl games. Didn't want to change to the playoff system. You don't think this game got a little more meaning than his bowl system?
Happy. Yeah, he's happy.
When you got a semifinal or a final game, which we got the final game coming up in semi this year.
He's got OU and Bama coming down here. He's happy.
That's good for business.
Yeah.
He'll be down for a few days. Oklahoma hasn't been here since the Florida game.
Yeah.
All right, Oklahoma game.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to, a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, so stay with us. Big 7 o'clock hour. Eric Palm's going to join us. Raekwon McMillan going to join us from the Miami Dolphins as well. We'll be right back. Radio.